Sight and sound and color return to the world as the four Raven Mounts recover from the impact of the shockwave. Len, your eyes open blearily, and you see flame and destruction all around you. You are trapped beneath a fallen tree. Your compatriots are nearby, but perhaps in similar states. What do you look like? And what do you see? Len has just witnessed something that they never thought they would see. The destruction of the grove. The slaughter of the Archdruids. They have heard stories about since they were little. And all of a sudden, their world has been turned upside down. Now they find themselves trapped, scared, lost, as the sound of this destruction reverberates all around them and just throws everything into disarray. They frantically look around for their allies, for Juniper, for Anna, for Alice, and especially for Mochi, as they find themselves boxed in and trapped underneath a tree. Do I see anyone around me? And is Mochi okay? Mochi is okay. Albeit a little worse for wear, but they are next to you, cawing and cooing and pecking at the tree to try and escape. And as Mochi is pecking at this tree, Len just calls out, "It's okay, Mochi. Go find the others. Get some help." As I see that one of my legs has been trapped underneath this fallen tree, and Mochi is not strong enough to help me with this right now. Anna, you wake up nearby to the sound of Mochi pecking at a stone. What do you look like, and what else do you see?
Anna is sprawled out on an uprooted tree with Wing nearby. A bunch of bruises are already forming, but she slowly gets up, and Wing is standing there with a little bit more red in their feathers than just the tips of the mohawk, and is hopping on one leg, the other one raised up as if it's painful to put down. Anna rolls over and just looks over to Mochi, and then her eyes make their way to Len, and she slowly stands up and moves towards the tree that is covering Len's leg.
As you get towards Len, the ground begins to shake and shudder. And you look up momentarily to see the single hand of the Ultra Giant that has broken through the archway, has now entered our reality, moves forward a little bit more. And with that slight movement, again, the earth trembles. You feel Len, the tree that was trapping you, shifts slightly. And it feels a little bit easier to get out, but you're still trapped. Anna, over here!
Yes, I'm coming. And Anna will get her hands underneath part of this tree and just close her eyes for just a moment and say, "Saints preserve us, give me strength." And try to lift this tree up off of Len enough for them to get out.
Go ahead and give me a brawn roll.
I was afraid you were going to say that. Oh!
Ah!
That's a 7 with a 6 on the die.
Nice!
You channel your inner adrenaline. You channel that inner strength, and you move this tree off of Len's leg with ease. Alice, you return to consciousness. You are nearby, and you have landed atop one of the larger trees in this grove. What do you look like? And what do you see?
Alice comes back to consciousness and is confused and slowly kind of checks in with her limbs and her body to see if anything's broken. Everything is sore and pain ripples throughout her, but she seems to be able to move, but catches herself as she is precariously hanging on branches. She calls out for Bore and also hears Len and Anna calling in the distance. She's just so confused as to what has happened. She actually sees Bore has himself, like, gotten tangled in a bunch of fallen branches. It almost looks like he built a nest around himself. And she makes her way over in this large tree to start untangling him from this rubble, this chaos, and calls down, Len, Anna, I'm up here. I'll be down in a moment. I have to help Bore. Where's Juniper?
And at Juniper's name, Juniper, you awaken.
As Juniper starts awake, he finds himself up against a big rock, just kind of back up against it, sitting down. And he looks very, very small next to this huge rock. And the only thing that his eyes can focus on is the center of the grove in the distance, where a huge monstrosity is emerging into our world, but also where the being that has caused so much harm for him and his city and his people is likely still. And he is out of it right now, as Thornbrush is, like, desperately trying to just kind of, like, pick at him and get him to move and get up.
As Alice finishes getting Bore out and untangled from this mess of greenery and trees and branches, she takes a look back at the altar giant, but then with her special telescopic goggles takes a look at where that altar giant is and looks down to see what creature called this forth. She, you know, heard the story of the shepherd at Deepwood, but definitely was not expecting this when she signed up with Juniper for the messenger mission.
Alice, you are using your telescopic lens, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and give me a brain roll.
6.
You see the shepherd turn towards their golden lantern and open a portal. From this doorway that looks into a blue, black, starry night, one after another, the first ones appear. Creatures of smoke, creatures of ice, of flame, creatures of eyes and tendrils, creatures of clouds and spikes, one after the other, emerge from this open portal into Rixia. And you know that the four of you have this one chance to escape and to share this news with Deepwood and muster the defense.
Alice takes a moment of just being in pure shock and then hops into the chest of Bore and dives down to where she sees Len and Anna and is like, team, we have to move. We have to get out of here. There are untold number of creatures on top of the ultra giant. We need to get out of here. We need to warn Deepwood. Where's Juniper?
So it's pretty clear Len's pretty badly injured by the falling tree, but Len and Mochi do kind of combine and Mochi starts taking flight. You're right. We need to find Juniper and get out of here.
Queen, are you okay to fly? And then Wing just kind of gives this incredulous look. And she just said, I didn't want to presume, but okay. And kind of begins to slowly climb on top of Wing, avoiding the injured foot.
Can we see Juniper from where we are? I don't want to like make too much noise.
Yeah.
I don't want to draw attention to us, but can we see Juniper or like find them?
Also, I get the feeling there is plenty of noise around us. Fair. Anyway, that
fair. But I don't want to just call out, Juniper, yeah. Where are you? Yeah.
You can see Juniper a little bit further out in the distance, but you can also see some of these odd creatures begin to fan out through the grove, and some of them are making their way in Juniper's direction.
How does group stealth work in Bird Game?
Yeah, right?
Do we care about stealth or do we care about speed?
Fair. How does group speed work in bird game?
Perhaps?
Yeah. I will say, go ahead and give me, the three of you, a bird roll, since you are all using your birds currently.
6 for Alice and Bore.
Len with an 8.
Ooh.
Anna with a 9.
Hey.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay, yeah.
We're birding it up today.
Yeah, you guys are... The second you guys get into your birds, like, you are back into your comfortable space. You are back in it. And you guys are able to rush to Juniper's side.
Alice will kind of disengage. Disbird. Disbird.
D-bird.
D-bird. D-bird from Lore and, like, rush to Juniper's side. Like, Juniper, come on. We gotta go. She's kind of, like, slapping... their cheek a little bit and like shaking them as Thornbrush was as well. Like there's a war between like not causing more harm and getting Juniper into his bird.
Juniper, you gotta get us out of here. Did the map say anything about where the exit was?
We should be able to reverse the directions though, right?
And he just like starts kind of breathing very rapidly. I guess. And he just starts kind of panic, like realizing that you guys are all here, realizing that things need to happen, and rebirds himself. Let's just start going. Just go.
You have your mission, and you begin to fly. The four of you rush over the canopy of trees, and you see the sky. It's black in some places, blue in some places. It's as if it can't decide in some parts what it's supposed to be. And as you fly, you get this odd sense of fear. This odd sense of deep, immobilizing fear from the cores of your very being that slowly creeps out to your extremities. And it seems like this fear is originating behind you. You look back. And you see the shadowy figure of a hawk chasing you. But the hawk is not just a hawk. It has the bone-white, bleached skull of a crocodile where its head should be. You feel this fear, and you know that you have to run. We are going to enter into a conflict of the Raven Mounts versus this Mothman.
Why would you do this?
Oh, don't worry. I've already got its name.
Oh.
Oh, thank God.
Wait, we dramatically reveal it some point.
Put that in the encounter tracker. Whatever.
This is going to be a short encounter, so we're only going to do one round.
But that either bodes well or very badly.
Are fleeing from this creature. For this conflict, since... You are not surprised, and it is not surprised by you. We are starting in the middle.
And then we win the encounter, win in quotations, by being like on our side of this tug of war and not on
its
our
side.
Opponents.
Yeah.
Cool.
Steve.
Yes.
You see the Mothman. You see the Hawkadile.
That's pretty good.
I can do better.
Yeah, we'll see.
And it is barreling towards you. What do you do?
I am going to, try to fly as fast as I can, but also warn the others. And we have kind of a telepathic type bond, right?
Yes.
So I'm assuming we're all within range of that. And I will just a quick glance behind me, and then I'll say through the telepathic bond to the others, oh boy, We've got some kind of aviator gator behind us. Fly faster! Fly faster!
Headshake.
Although I do like the hawkadile.
Yeah.
That was good, too. I'm guessing it would be bird in order to kind of either get us to move faster, or I'm also guessing that based on training we've had some kind of maneuver, you know,
alpha,
yeah. Maneuver, yeah. Or like, you know, V maneuver or whatever, you know,
right.
And to get us to all get to the same spot. And like, if there's pursuit, this is what we generally do.
Yeah. I'm going to say in this case, it's actually a brain roll.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm assuming you all are flying as fast as you can anyway. This is more of you are instantly picking up the situation and you are coordinating the rest of the group.
Okay. That's a total of 5.
Okay, that is a success. So you are going to move one tick up in the positive.
Alice doesn't need to look back. Very much trusts Anna that something is pursuing us. But Alice wants to take a look at the different patches of sky, some being black, some being blue. Like, what is causing that change? And is one more advantageous to fly into? Like, should we continue on the path that Juniper, like, has to get us out of this grove? Or do we take a different track? Do we fly into that clear sky? Does that mean a faster path to a safe haven?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and give me a brain roll.
5.
Ooh, perfect. Okay. So you know in this case, it would be more advantageous to fly towards the part of the sky that are black. And in the black parts of the sky, you can see stars. And you can see the stars of Rixia further beyond the sky.
Got it. So I know then that the blue is actually kind of like a false sky, the false sky of the grove, of the plane that was holding this Ultra Giant, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Alice will speak to the others and kind of specifically to Juniper of like, Juniper, you've got us on the right track. I see the stars. The black sky has stars in it. That's where we need to go. We can do this. Let's get home.
That is one more tick in your favor. At this point, the Mothman behind you has your scent. Alice, as you relay that information, you can feel that fear that gripped your heart turn into an icy, cold, stabbing pain. As you see the eyes from the Mothman burn crimson red, and it uses an ability. Sophie,
yes.
Roll me a dice and call even or odd.
Even.
Three. Okay. You feel the fear grip your heart and you are momentarily stunned. This creature.
No, don't stun me. I'm fine. I will instantly die. We've established.
You are metaphorically stunned.
Yeah.
But
this is
not
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
well, oh, this is a bird game. Bird game. Okay.
The bird isn't stunned.
I stunned. Great. Good.
Yes.
Cool.
But because of the failure, we are actually going to move 2 ticks back. And you guys are back at the midpoint. There will be one more villain action at the end of this round.
So we really got to make some moves if we're going to escape this thing. And does it look like it's catching up to us?
I would say yes. I think it's catching up to you.
Okay. Well, we're certainly not getting away from it, given that we tried to move, we tried to fly, and we're still kind of on par with it right now. Len and Mochi are flying their little bird heart out. They're trying to get away as fast as they can. Those little wings are only carrying them so far. So they know they have to try and slow this thing down somehow, or at least distract it. Get it away from just flying straight at us. My thought is, and you can veto this if you want, you know how birds vomit food for their young?
Uh-huh. I don't like where you're going with this, but continue.
Already bad, but...
Len and Mochi are going to turn around real fast and just eject food from their mouths as like kind of like chaff to try and distract this thing.
Okay.
And see if it cares at all about dodging a bird vomit.
Eagle 1, Fox 2.
Yikes.
Okay. What kind of roll would you like this to be? This feels bird roll.
This feels like a bird roll to me.
Okay. I'm going to say this might be pretty hard.
It feels kind of hard.
The Mothman does not care about dodging.
It's mostly spectral,
yeah,
I guess.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see what you're going for. I think it's going to be kind of hard to do that. But give me a bird roll.
Okay.
Go for the eyes, boo.
I rolled a natural one.
No.
Okay. I will say.
Yeah.
You still have your bond to evoke. If you would like to.
I don't feel good thinking about the people of Deepwood as I'm vomiting into this Mothman, so I'm not going to invoke my bond here.
Okay. You vomit.
Yeah.
You throw up right into the Mothman's face.
It is vomiting from fear, from all that concern about getting away.
He's trying the vomit thing again. Yeah.
We keep trying to tell him, it doesn't work. I
told him so many times.
Mochi's just too small, doesn't have that much vomit.
Yeah.
It splatters over the skull of the aviator gator and seems to do nothing.
Oh,
really, what a bummer.
Yeah.
But a good idea, but man.
Was it?
Better luck next time.
You were taking action. And
yeah,
you know what?
Right.
That counts for something.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because you rolled a natural one on a hard roll, you go back one. And
Juniper! Juniper, help! I'm too small!
More vomit!
I'm just a little guy.
I'm just a little guy with merch.
With
an anagram, always a little guy.
A little guy with only so much stomach capacity.
I forgot to eat this morning.
Yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, everyone. GM Nathan here. And welcome once more to The Midroll. This is where I remind you to follow us on all the social medias, particularly on Twitter at @reckless_attack, where we are posting a variety of frogs and memes and frog memes and meme frogs. You can find all our socials by visiting our website at recklessattack.com and much more. If you like us, consider supporting us on Patreon. It's one of the best ways to help us grow and improve the show. Early ad-free episodes, level-up talkbacks, and oodles of other stuff await you there at a variety of tiers. Lastly, don't forget to tell a friend if you're enjoying the show, or let us know by leaving a rating or review on your podcatcher of choice. That's all for me. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
And so, Juniper, it is up to you. You must make at least one success and hope that the Mothman fails their next roll.
Juniper is not in a good place right now. He is panicking. He's trying to internalize the advice given to him to kind of go towards the stars, but also wondering if we should be retracing our steps and thinking about what happened and everything. And I think what he is going to do is he is going to take Thornbrush and break formation.
Okay.
And he is going to very quickly circle back around and try to ram the Mothman.
All right.
With his bird. And I'd love to say that this was a bird roll, but I also feel like it could be a brawn roll.
I will say, because you are at ramming speed, this will be a bird roll.
Great. Rolling my frog dice. Thank you, Cassie. I rolled a 4 total.
That is enough. So you are able to ram into the Mothman. You throw it off balance, and it seems to flutter chaotically in the wind for a few moments, slowing down. You guys are even right now. It is going to see you, Juniper. And it is going to overextend its crocodile skull and try to bring it down with the force of a true crocodile onto you. Evens or odds?
Go odds.
Okay.
That is an even.
No! Oh, no! With that, you guys have failed the conflict. Juniper, you find yourself locked in combat with the Mothman. You are fighting it off to the best of your ability, and you are just staying alive. The rest of you, Anna, Len, and Alice, you all continue flying at the speed
of escape. And you can see that Juniper is falling behind, still fighting this thing.
Alice, seeing her friend still trapped back there, will, like, have Bore throw it at Swings, like emergency brake, and fly back to aid Juniper.
And over the comms, you just hear, "Alice, what are you doing?
Keep going!" Alice and Bore will go back, and as the crocodile face is locked around Thornbrush, and Juniper will kind of fly under and kind of spear right through its belly, like fly right through in the hopes of like trying to impact a spectral form.
You hit it, and the shock of it causes the creature's mouth to open wide. And Juniper, you're able to escape. But Alice, you are now the one locked in combat, fighting for your life. You see your three allies, but you look back and you see more creatures coming towards you. Creatures of eyes and arms, creatures of shadow, more Mothmen. All coming, rising from the grove in every direction. Coming for you. Coming for all the other animals of the grove.
Juniper, get them out of here. Get them to Deepwood. You have to tell everyone what happened here.
Juniper, you have a choice. You know how to leave, but do you want to?
Juniper, at this, kind of snaps back into reality a bit more. The adrenaline shifts down a little, and he realizes what's happening. Really, truly internalizes what's happening. And he sees everything coming. He hears his friend tell him this. I think Thornbrush starts to fly away, whether it is conscious or unconscious of Juniper's decision making. Juniper says to Alice, I'm so sorry. You were supposed to be asleep today. We'll get out. We'll tell everyone.
Go, Juniper.
As Juniper, I presume, catches up to Mochi and Wing. Juniper, what happened? Where's Alice?
They got left behind.
Left behind? What do you mean?
Wait, we have to go back and get them.
We have to keep flying. We have to get back to the city. We couldn't stop it, so we have to tell them. We have to.
The three of you make it to the edge of the prison. And you fly through the crack into the starry night sky beyond. You make your way back to Rixia, the three of you. And the place you end up is familiar. It is in the vast forest behind Deepwood, where the woods become plains, and beyond that, the plains become mountains. And you know that you are but a few hours away from Deepwood. You look behind you, and you can see the grove from the other side. You can see the specks of black and white and red of the first ones as they flock through the grove and fly in the same directions as you. You fly to Deepwood in silence, in remembrance, and you fly with a message. The shepherd is back. They have unleashed their first ones into the grove. They have destroyed it. And they have unleashed the Ultra Giant that was trapped there for so long back to Rixia.
A few days later, in the red city of Agmar, and in the guild hall of the Golden Tree, stand our four adventurers. Vina Calvetta, the head of the guard. Filigern Pines, esteemed elder of Deepwood. And Juniper, the Ravenmount, standing awkwardly straight and with eyes rimmed with red. Filigern finishes his tale, looking around the conference table around him. And Vina asks, what's the status of Deepwood? What's the status of those that have emerged or gathered in the forest? And Filigern says, well, at last that we have heard, the first ones have not emerged from the forest as of yet. But our raven mounts aren't particularly effective amongst all of the trees, and most of our ground scouts that we have sent there have not reported back. Those that have also reported strange creatures, which we can only assume are some sort of ally to the Ultra Giant. So, I come not just to relay the tale and forewarn you all, but to tell our neighbors here in Agmar that we plan to evacuate Deepwood. We ask what Agmar plans to do and whether we should be sending any refugees, particularly those that once were at crossroads, to come here or to join our people, who will, by and large, find shelter in remote wilderness for as long as is necessary.
Checkers raises his hand.
Yes, Checkers, friend. What is it? I'm sure there are many questions with the tale I have just told.
What's an Ultra Giant?
Val was so proud for a second when Checkers raised his hand and then was like, whoa, wow. Manners, classroom etiquette was fantastic. And then he speaks. And all of that pride washes away. And she's just, of all of the things, like, she's just rubbing her brow.
I mean, you've all said Ultra Giant a few times. So I kind of get the idea. Big giant, right? But, like, what is it?
Val just mind links Checkers and just thinks really hard about Ultra Giants and, like, the images she's seen of them. And, like, isn't, like, sending Checkers words necessarily, but just like images of like
just
what
concept.
It's going to be like the solar images where it's like, here's Earth. Now here's what Jupiter's, how many Jupiters could fit in the sun.
So we've met
here's
one a, giant.
Yeah.
Here's how many giants fit in that giant.
Yeah.
Filigern Pine still looks a little, is anyone, should I can, ex- or is.
Val just makes a hand motion to like, please continue.
Checker stares off in the distance. Oh, wow. Neat.
He's gotten popcorn from somewhere. I am in a room with, many who are younger than me, but I do not know how many of you were around in the time of the Ultra Giants.
And Kaskrin shares that kind of same somber look. And two, as Filigreen is explaining, he's looking at Checkers, and it's like, he gets it. But to him, the Ultra Giants were a big part of his life.
For sure.
And so the fact that, like, somebody doesn't know it really makes him feel old now. Like,
right, I mean...
I'm decrepit.
Right, I mean, that's, like, 20 generations ago for Checkers.
Oh, my God, it's like me when I make an 80s reference.
What's a Walkman?
Yeah.
Cass, I'll tell you this for free. It is very apparent you and Filigern are feeling very personally different about the fact that there's an Ultra Giant than anyone else in this room. Like you said, like, there's a weight to both of you that you immediately recognize as two people who lived that life.
Right.
And I don't know that anyone else in the room at least was an adult, certainly, at that point, because this was decades and decades ago.
Gentle reminder, Val is 18.
I was going to say, like, I know the answer
this
for Val.
This is Val's gap year.
I know the answer for Checkers. I know that Selva's not that
yeah,
old.
Yeah, we don't know how old Selva is, but I'm hoping he's older than two.
Yes.
Yeah.
You almost, like someone who has gone through a traumatic experience,
right,
can spot that,
yeah,
that weight that exists, especially for someone who has seen it up close.
Right. I can't believe I have to give you a history lesson right now.
Well, Val tried already, so if you can do any better, that'd be great.
Several times.
Okay. Let me see if I can put this in a way that you'll understand. The Pentarchy, right? Nazar the Black, the Crown of Discord.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Yeah.
I will say I'm really loving this, like, side note that Val is still just mind-linking Checkers, yeah, with, like, her drawings and images of, like, what Cass is describing happening to, yeah, Checkers.
It's like watching a movie. It's great. This is the only way the Checkers is going to learn.
So the Pentarchy ruled everything. They ruled with an iron fist, and Agmar was their seat of power. They did something. They caused the sun to fall, one of the two sons of Rixia. And with that, the Pentarchy were destroyed, and the Ultra Giants came to Rixia to roam the land. When the Ultra Giants appeared, they were forces of nature. We don't have great records of exactly how many there were, but our scholars, the illustrious Atheum, believe that there were between 10 to 25 of these unique, independent, monstrous creatures that wandered the land and destroyed cities and civilization.
So why are we still here if they destroyed everything?
I think we got lucky. We had enough cases of Deepwood being able to trap them, Lotros, my city, being able to turn one away to kill one, that mortals were able to survive. And then the Ultra Giants disappeared.
First, I'm sorry. You were able to slay one is unimaginable. That speaks well to the history of your city and those who fought for it.
Yes, well, and Kaskrin looks to his rocky arms. I can't say that everyone in Lotros made it out alive. The after effects, the magical backlash, the elemental backlash, killed more than were able to survive it. I got lucky.
We also know that sort of hardship. Luckily, and at this, he actually does kind of bring down his robe and kind of remove whatever various masks and stuff that he's wearing, and it appears as though he has totally normal, albeit extremely pale, but normal mortal level of pale skin, no longer seemingly cursed without pigment. Filigran, again, just says, we agree with your friend Kaskrin, he says to Checkers. We were barely able to stand against them, which is more than most could at the time, and we are much, much diminished since then. There's, I believe, simply not enough magic in the world at this point.
Any idea how fast this thing moves? How much time do we have before it either gets to Deepwood or gets to Agmar?
And this is mostly for to Juniper.
Juniper, like, kind of like sniffs up, taken aback that he was actually addressed. As last I saw, well, it wasn't moving. It was just there on the horizon, just beyond the city. Filigran looks up at you and he says, initially, the Raven Mounts that saw the creature reported that it was earthen, almost a mountain. In the days since, especially at night, we have noticed it has begun to glow a fiery red. Each night, seemingly growing a little brighter, which could mean
that we have a small timeline or indicator of when this might be active once more, but also it could give us a hint as to what it is. It would certainly make sense that it was the fire ultra giant that attacked the city those decades ago. The easiest translation for what we referred to it as was the setting sun. If it is the same one, it is formidable indeed.
So it's gaining power, it's restoring itself, and we have refugees on the way from Deepwood. And Kaskrin starts to look a little despondent because the last time he fought an Ultra Giant, it took months of preparation. It took, you know, extremely powerful magic. It took the sacrifice of a city to kill one.
Is Kaskrin saying this aloud? Or just internalizing that?
I think he's saying it aloud. Like, David, the person, is thinking through it, but I think Kaskrin is also saying this aloud. What can we even do? Between the Shepherd and the Ultra Giant, and how can we stop Agmar from just being another Lotros?
Val will respond to Kaskrin with, we try. We have powerful friends. We have a lot of resources. We have a city of mysteries and power. We try.
Vina has been pretty quiet during this meeting, and at that, she jumps in and she says, Carthago, Visuna, Akwe, Tenido. Those are four former Pentarchy cities that are gone from the Ultra Giants. Agmar, during the time of the Ultra Giants, evacuated and went to refuge and abandoned the city as well. We will have to weigh prudence and safety. She looks at the Golden Tree Guild in particular with belief. All right. Thank you, Filigren. She stands up and gives a salute to Filigren, and he also kind of creakily stands up. It takes him, 15 to 20 seconds. And Vina says, for now, please keep this to the people in this room. I have certain members of the council and city to talk to, but let's keep this between us for now. I'm asking you, not ordering you. And please all put your considerable prowess towards figuring out what to do with the city of Agmar. And that is where we'll end this week's episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
And is this describing coming out of the portal?
This is describing like
or first ones.
Just the first ones.
Like seeing the Shepherd talk to the first ones and like command them.
And messes of tentacles and smoke and incongruent
shapes.
Why is this one a cube?
Rhomboid with lasers.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's the vibe.
This one can only be described as blah.
Right. Yeah.
Why is this one only feet?
Yeah.
Rolling.
That's immediately what I thought of in my mind. Ball of feet.
Yeah.